conflict is not in
Love Talk Radio.
Time and space for diplomacy.
Besides offering Russia a path to diplomacy, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin announced from the Pentagon the United States remains committed to helping Ukraine defend itself through security assistance material, and the United States will stand shoulder to shoulder with NATO allies. If NATO activates its response forces, the U.S. troops placed on prepare to deploy orders last week will be ready to go. Family, friends, and police officers are saying final goodbyes today to a New York City police officer shot and killed last week. Scott Pringle reports.
Police officers packed 6th Avenue as far as the eye could see for 22-year-old officer Jason Rivera's funeral. His older brother, Jeffrey, said all Jason wanted to be when he grew up was a cop.
I can't really put it into words how broken I am, how broken my mother is, how broken my father is.
Rivera's widow, Dominique, cried through a speech and mentioned Rivera's frustration over new policies from Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Outside St. Patrick's Cathedral, Scott Pringle, New York.
Bond is being denied again for the suspect in the killing of a Texas law enforcement officer. Oscar Rosales made another court appearance today. Prosecutors say the 51-year-old shot Harris County Precinct 5 Constables Corporal Charles Galloway to death during a traffic stop last weekend. Rosales has been accused of fleeing to Mexico, where he was captured Wednesday. Four others are in custody, with prosecutors saying they helped Rosales escape. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our Senator Talk weather outlook for Friday. Well, after those morning temperatures warm up, we'll see partly sunny skies later on today. High temperatures around 46, 47 degrees. Tonight, patchy fog will roll in. Low temperatures back down to about 35, 34. For Saturday, starting things out yet again with patchy fog, turning to partly sunny skies. High temperatures a little warmer, around 48, 49. With a slight chance of rain showers moving in for Saturday night, lows back down to about 42. For Sunday, rain expected and high temperatures in the mid-40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McSilley and Transformation Talk Radio.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Epchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome. So grateful you're joining us here today. You might be listening live on 1150 AM KKNW here in the Seattle area. And at the moment, it's sunny Seattle area, at least in my neck of the woods. Or you might be listening live anywhere around the world on TransformationTalkRadio.com or perhaps live on Facebook Live. On my professional page, or after the fact on my YouTube channel, which I encourage you to sign up to, or one of the dozens of podcasts that sends up. But wherever and whenever, we're so grateful you're here because, you know, we do this show for you. And I'm really excited about our guest today, but I want to say hello to the people behind the technology first. Good morning, Mr. Benny Mathers at KKNW.
Hi, Christine.
Big hug to you.
There we go.
Big hug back.
Yeah,
big hug back.
Nice.
How are your boys doing?
They're awesome. They're in school. Can't check in with them now. Maybe I should just surprise them one day. That'd be great, right? They're doing awesome.
How old are the twins now?
They turned 11 at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, I figured it was around their birthday.
Yeah.
So 11, I cannot believe it.
It's four. Amazing. They're still little chatterbugs. They must take after their dad or something. I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We're going to go with that.
And Good morning to Jacob at Transformation Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good morning, Justine. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm just so excited about the sunshine, and I'm so excited about our guest today. It's somebody who's been a guest on our show before, and the other day she and I were having a conscious conversation, and I really wish that we had been recording it on Zoom or something because it was so insightful. But I know that our listeners will benefit if they get to be the proverbial fly on the wall and listen to what she has to say and what we have to say to each other, because really there's something magical about the process of conversation. It's the sort of thing where you can read books and you can go to presentations and you can watch some things online. But when there's this conversation, there's this back and forth that allows the thought process, the energetics to flow in a way that may be unexpected, and it can be more expansive than just the simple, you know, one person, one idea coming across. Our guest today is Kate Montana. She is a best-selling author. She is a journalist. She's got this amazing background, and she balances the psychology and the science and the spirituality in a way that is fairly unique. I truly appreciate her. And also, by the way, folks, if any of you happen to be writing a book or working on an article for publication, she's a fabulous editor. So I would like to welcome our guest today, Kate Montana. Hey, Kate.
Good morning. Good morning. It's still morning in the Pacific Northwest. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for the promotion. Work is good. Yeah. Beat the cat.
And you know, I think that there are plenty of people who want to make their mark in the world via a book. More and more people are writing books, and you don't even have to find your way to a publisher. And when you don't go through a publisher, you don't automatically get the types of editors that you need to get to have a decent book. I mean, you know, having a show and having had a show for, gosh, it's pushing 9.5 years I've been doing radio. It's the sort of thing where you can tell when somebody has jumped through the right editorial hoops and when they haven't. There, you know, once upon a time, if it was a self-published book, it's like, oh, I don't know. You know, and you open the first page and there would be grammatical errors or, you know, typos or whatever. Some of the self-published books now are amazing, and it's clear when somebody has used an editor. So I did want to mention that as well, because I know you've edited my work before too. And one of the things, it's like, you know, okay, so I've done some editing too, not, you know, not the way you have, but it's, I can be really good at the grammar, and I can be really good at, you know, the punctuation and all that stuff. But sometimes I don't go deep enough. Sometimes I don't get vulnerable enough. You also called me on that. And yeah. So I think it's great to have somebody who's aware of the, you know, the consciousness literature that's out there, as well as from the scientific literature, because I know that you're a journalist in the scientific realm as well. And to have somebody who's not only got an editorial eye, but also understands how somebody can make their mark within the field.
Yeah, and we all have our beautiful perspective, which, you know, everybody has a voice. I mean, everybody has a story. And it's just remarkable. And to be able to be a doula. To help be a birth mom. To help. It's really cool. It's really cool. I used to, it's so interesting. My ego always used to want to be, I'm the star, I'm the author, I'm the person on the stage, let me tell you what I know. And it's really cool. I maybe it's just a sign of getting older, but now I just don't give a hoot so much about that. Actually, I don't give a hoot at all. I could use a different word, but we'll use hoot. Thanks, Benny says. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, I like who? I like it. In my wheelhouse.
Yeah, so now it's more about helping people get their own message out. That's really cool. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm so excited to be back on the show, because it's been a couple of years, and I was just, you know, you'd been on my mind, and so I was so glad when we connected a few days ago. It was just pretty amazing. Yeah. Especially the waters we got into.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as you can probably guess, being on YouTube, being streaming on radio, besides some of the swear words, there's certain words that we have to stay away from because it sort of triggers the censorship. But
like CV, what's your curriculum vitae? That's the new synonym. It's the new
yes. There are some great code words, and I've seen some amusing ways that people type this stuff to kind of avoid censorship. But it's really, you know, we're not here to talk about the nitty-gritty of the science, the nitty-gritty of, like, the debate. Really, you and I have both been on our journeys. And I know that, oh, gosh, way back when, I don't know, it was probably 2014, 2015, I don't know, when you were still here, not on the mainland as opposed to Hawaii, and you come out and visited out of Orcas.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about bucking against some of the spiritual tenets of the New Age movement. And we were sort of doing our own processing of, wait a minute, you know, this is what I'm supposed to believe in, and I'm not sure that that makes sense. And so we've been on a similar journey. And over the last couple of years, I know that you, as a scientific journalist, a medical journalist, you've been sort of assessing what's been going on. And so you and I have been on a similar path that way because, you know, a research statistician, you know, has to dive deep into this stuff, which has led to a kind of deep dive within to belief systems, to ego. Can you just share with our listeners and viewers a little bit about your journey, your inner journey over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, when COVID hit in 2020, it was like hitting a wall. It was like all my life I'd been, you know, we're so doing oriented, we're so wired to, you know, we're professional, we're doing oriented, and when that happened, I just all of a sudden it was like a curtain came down and went, oh my God, the spiritual truth is there's nothing external that can satisfy me. Just became so obvious, and it was like, oh my God, it's really true. There's nothing out there in the world that can satisfy me, make me happy, fulfill me. There's nothing I can. And it was just like immediately just back down within. And I ended up dropping pretty much, I was starting to promote another book and do another book, and I was writing a stage play. And I dropped all of that, and I ended up starting to teach A Course in Miracles because it was like the only thing that matters is that we get our act together and that we figure out really who we are and who we really, really are. And it's not the persona that precipitated all this mess that we've been dealing with the last 2 years. It's not the ego. So I started teaching A Course in Miracles, and then that led to a real shocker. Somebody introduced me to a book called A Course of Love, and which was, I don't know if you know about this, it's another channeled teaching of Jesus that it blew me out of the water. Here I am, I've got a huge class doing A Course in Miracles, and 6 months into the class, somebody introduces me to A Course of Love, and I'm like, there's no way that there's another channeled teaching of Jesus. And so I'm in the midst of this conversation with this woman who is a divine, beautiful, heart-based being that I adore and trust. And she's talking about this. Yes, it was channeled 30 years later by this woman named Mari Perrone. And in my mind, Christine, was just going berserk, going, no, it took me long enough to figure that, you know, to accept A Course in Miracles and that there really was a channeling by Jesus and there can't be another one and there's nothing better. And all the while, my mind is frothing. My heart is just exploding, going, yes, oh, yes, yes. So as soon as I hung up the phone, I ordered it on Amazon, and it consumed me. It just took me over, and I realized that this is the next step for me from A Course in Miracles. And it's about, you know, A Course in Miracles is about reframing our mind and waking up to that I'm not this persona, Kate Montana, who stands on a stage or who writes books or who has all these dreams and aspirations. No. Who this deeper being is, and reworking the mind. But then the next step is to open the heart so the heart and the mind can link up and the heart can lead. Yeah. And so anyway, so I had to actually tell my whole class of Course in Miracles students that I was not going to teach A Course in Miracles anymore. So I was switching to A Course of Love. So that was interesting. But it's been, to get to your original question, it's been 2 years of just letting go all these last shreds of, you know, people might say the last shreds of hope that I'm going to do something, accomplish something, be somebody, blah, blah, blah. But it's been this rich dive into my heart and just following where that goes. So, yeah, so I lose half my class of A Course in Miracles. And, you know, and then everybody the rest shifts over to A Course of Love. And I've just watched miracles happen in people's lives. I've just watched people, you know, just let go of issues that have driven them for decades. And I've realized that it's this energetic portal. What's so cool about it is that I don't even have to understand what I'm reading anymore, because that's not the point. The intellectual mind can never wrap itself around that who we really are place. And and I've just accepted that energetic portals exist, like A Course of Love, et cetera, et cetera. And then just, if you're pulled, explore, walk through, and that it's easy. That's one of the real revelations I've had in the past couple of years, Christine, because we're in the midst of this horrific social breakdown where nothing is easy and everything is torturous and tortured and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like all of a sudden life has just gotten so easy because I've dropped a lot of the mental conversation and argument within myself and just ease into the simplicity of my heart. And then I just follow it, whatever shows up next is the right thing.
And I find it fascinating that you got to a place that where some people would say you just don't care anymore, right? And I have gotten to the same place, and I'm not always there, mind you, but it's been a significant part of my transformation over the last couple of years. And it's the kind of thing where letting go of the shoulds, letting go of the want tos, letting go of the mission desire, which, you know, I was always so mission-based before, has led me to this, I don't care, and this is expansive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's been so surprising, like, okay, well, you know, is it just the stage of life I'm at? Have I just been, you know, run ragged with my belief systems about certain things in our world kind of being, you know, beaten up and transformed to, like, disbelieve a whole lot of things? You know, am I weary? It's like, no, I just don't care about the same things anymore. And in that creates this sort of beingness and this sense of allowing that is incredibly expansive.
Yeah. Nothing looks the same and everything looks the same.
I love that. Now, and it's weird. It's funny because I had, about a year ago, I had this interesting experience. I was busy cutting up some vegetables in the kitchen, and there I am working with a sharp knife and, you know, a carrot or something like that, and I'm looking through my eyes, and I'm looking at my hands. I no longer feel my body, and I'm looking at my hands, and I'm like, my hands? Are those my hands? No, not my hands. Are those my hands? And it was like I was observing from this other place through my body, but not, so it wasn't like I was transcending the body completely and sort of like looking down at myself like astral projection or something like that. It was like there I was in my body functioning as a human being going about a daily task of cooking dinner, and yet I was disconnected from my body and yet still seen through my eyes. And it was this weirdest thing. I'm sure that, you know, in some cases psychologists would say, oh, she needs to be locked up for that, right? But it felt like this incredibly significant few moments where I recognized this duality that we're living in, and not the good, bad duality, because that's a whole other thing, but this duality of being spirit, witnessing the life within the human form, but also being a human going about life.
You know, that's so interesting, because one of the things that Jesus talks about in A Course of Love is that we have come to a place in evolution of creation where so the original urge was to express through physical form. And we got locked into physical form and identified with physical form. So then the struggle in physical form was to get out of physical form and get back to our original light. So it was always about getting out to God, getting right. back to God. The higher self, oh, yeah, please, higher self, save me. And this has rocked my world in the last couple of years, Christine, is because now it's about actually really being God in form and creating. And Jesus calls that, we are now at the time of the elevated self of form. We've been God, and we're still God. We've been locked in form, identified with form. We've struggled to get back to God, but we've never experienced God as the original point of creation was to walk and talk and chew gum as the divine beings that we are.
Mm.
And so then the locus of perception, how you identify, it's, you know, I've been, like everybody else, locked into this body thinking that and identifying with this, with form, then trying to get out of form. But then there's this place when who we really are, that perspective just gradually starts taking us over until the center of perception isn't I'm the body trying to be spiritual, it's all of a sudden the spiritual aspect of ourselves that encapsulates the body,
mm-hmm.
it surrounds the body, it permeates the body, it animates the body, it is the body, mm-hmm. but it's more than the body. So it's like this surrounding perception, and that's what you experienced in that moment in the kitchen. You were your body, you were aware of your body, you were acting through your body, but you weren't your body, you were larger than your body, but you weren't out of your body.
Exactly.
That's the bingo. That's what we're looking
for. Yeah.
And what I've been saying for years now is that we, you know, so many of the spiritual teachings have been about, you know, transcending the body, as you talked about, you know,
and reaching up and connecting in that higher frequency vibration. But really, it's a matter of coming into a fuller vibration that includes the high frequency vibration as well as the lower frequency, denser vibration of the body. And that's so important because what that does is it's essentially grounding the light within the body, grounding the light, more light onto the planet, which I believe will ultimately shift the planet.
Oh, it's, you know, there's no more ultimately about it, Christine. It's shifted the planet, and that's why we're seeing the, the hoot storm that's going on, that's been going on for the last 2 years, because we have been dreaming of this new place, this new expression, this expression of the elevated self in form. And for eons, it was the original point of creation to begin with. And now we're stepping into those big shoes that have always been waiting for us. And when we do that, then all of the crapola that has been the creation of the ego, of the fear-based separated self, that thrives and desperately needs control and power over, and, you know, and it's consumption-based. It's got to have more and more and more to feed its emptiness. That's the spotlight's on it, baby. So that's what we're seeing, and it's taken me a while to kind of like, wow, have we really already moved into this amazing space? Yes, we have. I've gone from at the beginning of the whole COVID show, you know, going, oh my God, it's all falling apart and it's terrible, to, oh my God, it's all falling apart and it's supposed to, it mm-hmm. has to, and we have created this.
Yeah.
And it's just a gateway.
And, you know, some people call it devolution. That's an important part of, you know, evolving in a way to get
devolution.
Yeah. It gets to this place of breaking apart, like, first of all, illuminating the dysfunction
and the evil, you know, and the control, and then breaking the systems that are basically continuing that, you know, that control, that ego-based creation, and breaking those systems down so that we can evolve, because we really cannot evolve within the context of the structures as they are. And it's, you know, it's kind of crazy to try to think about how that might unfold. But and it, you know, it can invoke fear in us too, because we're so used to life looking a certain way. And it's not just a matter of whether we go to the store with or without this thing over our face or not. It has to do with the way we interact with our neighbors, the way we connect with humans, the way we make money. You know, it's like it's going to affect us in so many ways, including how we interact with our planet.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, of course, mainstream media is completely censored and shut down. But there's, I think it's a figure of something like 70, it's a 70-mile-long truck caravan now in Canada.
Yes.
Thousands and thousands of truckers. And probably a million people along the highway waving flags, supplying food, supplying beverages, supplying places. It's just this huge outcome, vaccinated, unvaccinated. It doesn't matter. We are human beings come together to support ourselves outside of this restrictive, fear-based existence that's crippling us. It's always crippled us. Now we see the larger picture where all of the global crippling, and it's just like we're not, you know, the whole joke about the journey, spiritual journey, is that, you know, to finally see what you're not.
Yes.
And we're finally on a global level, whether you're Hindu, Muslim, Arabic, agnostic, atheistic, whatever you are, is to see, oh, my God, I can't identify with this crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And go, whoa, well, if I'm not that and I don't feel, you know, and it's not about the issues where we can go to war with one another, right. We're so sick of the war.
We are.
This is such a beautiful place to finally come to. Oh, my God. I hit a wall with a very close friend and business associate of 17 years over the C word. And and it was such an opportunity because I dropped it. You know, I so wanted to get my point across. I so wanted to be, I didn't even want to be right. I just wanted to be heard and understood and accepted. And it wasn't happening. And I had to let that go. I remember waking up at 3:00 in the morning and I'm all, you know, that, you know, I'm going to respond to that email. And you're lying there at 3 a.m. going, well, I could say this and I could say that. And, you know, you're all knotted up. And it's like, and I lay there and I went, this sucks. This is stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. And I got off it like that. I dropped it. And it ended up ending the relationship. But it was an imbalanced relationship anyway that actually needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have, so that the other person could evolve, I could evolve, and move on.
Yeah.
And it's not at all.
It's so interesting because I think that for those of us who believe that we are seeing many aspects of truth that the masses in general are not, you know, willing to look at or aren't able to see, or, you know, their version of reality is different, however you want to term it. I think that many of us have had to let go of relationships of all sorts. I know that there are huge rifts in people's families and, you know, people who've been uninvited to weddings and uninvited to holiday gatherings and these sorts of things. And then there are friendships that end, and people are exiting businesses or jobs because, you know, they're told they have to do one thing and it's not in alignment with who they are. And so although these aren't necessarily easy decisions on one level, another level, it is easy. It's just navigating who we are and how we move about in life and the choices we make.
You know, that, and I've seen so many friends and counseled numerous people through this really painful passage where you are disinvited to your sister's wedding. And it's like, and to stand firm in who you are, but to love who you are and to acknowledge who you are is so incredibly powerful. Not, and then not make the other person wrong. But, to, you know, here we come back to the whole sticky issue of, is love enough? Is it enough that I simply hold love for myself, for my sister, for my family? It doesn't mean I'm going to get railroaded into doing something I don't want to do. It doesn't mean I'm heard and understood, but I sit in love, and maybe my sister will come back into my life at another time, maybe not. Mm-hmm. Is love enough? Do I trust that, you know, that across space and time, will that be enough, that I'm still connected to her?
Yeah.
And that I can still embrace her and be whole and be still with my family in spirit. Is that enough? Because mm-hmm. we're being called on our BS about, you know, well, I'm a spiritual person and it's all about love. And then we hit these places.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a fish or cut bait time.
And it's interesting to see some of the divisiveness and some of the hate speech against those who chose not to get the you-know-what in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see some of these people who've said horrific things about, you know, they should have their kids taken away. Or, I mean, they're horrible, horrible things. Hope they die. You know, seeing that they get their next one and you know, within 48 hours, within 24 hours, they're dead of a blood clot or whatever. And it's like, to be able to see that, it's not like, oh, well, they got their you know, their justice. It's more like, oh, how sad. It feels like, first of all, on a human level, it feels very frustrating to not be able to sway people based on information, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the information's out there. But beyond that, it's the sort of thing where we have to continue to have compassion for those who have hated us, for those who have, you know, sort of fed the divisiveness that is so toxic to our planet right now, and to trust that they had their soul's journey, they played their role within the context of this collective, but to not feel a sense of, you know, vengeful enjoyment.
Yeah. You know, who is it? I mean, for God's sakes, Jesus, you know, would look people in the eye and say, you know, you're not my mother. You're not my father. You know, you walk away from your family. And because that's not our real family. It is our real family, but it's not our real family. Our real family is of the heart and of the soul. Mm. And we have got to be able to learn to let go. So, you know, and at a certain point, it's not even easier than said than done. It's just like, we've got to let go. And I've got a dear friend who's, you know, she couldn't wait for the vaccine for her little 11-year-old boy, who just is just this precious being. And I just had to let go. Didn't want to hear a word about anything. And I'm just, and so, and you know, and here's the horrible human side. Here's just the human side. And have I had a thought like, well, if he gets sick and dies, that'll show you that I was right. That voice is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in all of us. Well, it's in me. I'll just raise my hand and say it's in me. And I stopped judging it. It's just that perspective. It's just that stupid little human blah, blah. And that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't twist me up anymore that comes up. I just go, yeah. Which reminds me of that other part of the conversation that we had the other day talking about Wetiko. The mind parasite.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Oh,
fascinating.
Boy. It is fascinating. I'll even hold up a book. I don't know, is it reversed?
No, it's incorrect. It's correct.
Yeah. So Wetiko, healing the mind virus that plagues our world. There's this, you know, who hasn't seen the image of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other? You know. And, you know, we've been torn so long and so with these two voices in our heads. And it's all part of the separation game of identifying with the physical body and then thus feeling isolated and alone and thus afraid and then afraid of the other. And then there's conflict and war and divisiveness and judgment and then everything that's been playing out for eons. So there's this growing understanding that this voice of separation is aligned with another, a force, if you will, of, I'll use the word evil, which is something that I dodged the whole evil darkness conversation. Being a spiritual person, I was all about the light. And okay, so I had to do some shadow work because that's, you know, that's part of the spiritual journey process. You got to look at your shadow. But I'm not really my shadow, and it really doesn't matter, and I've left it behind long ago. I'm safely beyond that. But, you know, and that thought about my friend's son obviously is the lie to that. I've not left that behind. It's just part of us. And it's a story that has plagued humanity forever. And it is based in the sense of separate self. But this is so bizarre and out of my wheelhouse, Christine, that I came across this whole conversation. So I've been listening to a woman by the name of Jacqueline Hobbs, and she's also known as Oracle Girl, oraclegirl.org. I highly recommend anybody check her out. She's really, I can't even describe this woman, but she's basically says, look, I'm here. I'm from the future. This is what I do. I've been drawn here because this is the situation where humanity is equal to this new life that we've been setting forward and dreaming together across time and space and dimensions. And so she just holds something called a purification space that helps us align our own energies with who we really are. So that's her. But she also talks about this other presence that has been influencing humanity in the dark for millions of years. And then, so I'm like, right. And then I run across this Wetiko book by Paul Levy. And he's talking about, and there's a word for this presence, this dark, it's interdimensional, it's non-physical, and yet it works into the physical through us. It's called a mind parasite. It's called Wetiko in the Native American, I think, Ojibwe. It's called, in the Sioux Nation, I think they call it Wendigo. In Arabic, it's referred to as Iblis. Shaitan, biblical, Abrahamic religions. The Kabbalah calls it Kelipat. Sri Aurobindo calls it the hostile force. Other people call it mind parasites. And then I haven't listened to David Icke, the gentleman from, you know, everybody labels him a conspiracy theorist.
Who's been right about a whole lot of things so far.
Who's been right about a whole lot of things. I haven't listened to David Icke in 15 years, and I accidentally stumble across this, and I sent you the link. I don't know, did you watch that?
I haven't watched it yet, but I have watched some of his things over the last year.
And it just nails it in a nutshell. He just goes, look, XYZ millions of years ago, us beautiful spirit, light, body entities, interdimensional beings of love, wanted the physical experience, and there was a force that created the image of the body that actually entrapped us. And we got locked into an image. And it was actually a scientific projection of a hologram.
Interesting.
And we beautiful non-corporeal blah, blah, blah entities got enmeshed in this holographic projection. And we've been trapped ever since. Identifying with the body, all the fear, separation, blah, blah, that comes from that. And what's fascinating is there's all these scientists now, I can't remember the guy's name, Dr. James, anyway, they are now, a lot of quantum physicists are now pretty sure that we are about 80% probability that we're living in a simulation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's even one scientist who's discovered binary computer code buried at the superstring level.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
Okay, so I just want to back up here for a minute because you're talking about something that I would call evil, and it sounds like there are a lot of different names for it. And it's not just like, oh, the darkness of our shadow, but rather some entities or some energy that it has been affecting humanity. And it brings me back to this concept of bucking the New Age system, because one of the tenets of the New Age system is that there's only love and fear. And one of the corollaries to that is that evil doesn't exist. It's really fear. And I think that for most humans, you know, who are whole and in a variety of ways, that's absolutely true. But I also believe that there is this evil energy that has infected plenty of people, and that they use that evil to create the fear in people that creates the bigger shadows and so forth. So what's your perspective on evil then?
This is so nascent in me. This is also recent. All right, I've been on the spiritual path for 40 years, and this is the last 3 months that I've been looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so raw and new for me, Christine.
Mm-hmm.
My take on it is that this force exists, that it is it comes from a different source. And this so broadens, I have to, you know, credit Jacqueline Hobbs with this concept, is that she said, in the spiritual community I was raised in, there's only one source. It's God, it's the light, and everything is of the light, even fear is of the light. And so everything is of the light, and there's only one source. So Jacqueline has introduced this, that there's more than one source, and which just explodes my head.
Oh, it's making my crown chakra go nuts, and that's my tell that something is true.
Oh, my God. And I'm going, okay, what could possibly be? I can't fathom that other source. And she said, that's the whole point. The other source can't fathom us either.
Mm.
But the other force is into control and consumption. It's driven by its emptiness. Its very fabric is emptiness versus the fulsomeness of the light.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's driven by a completely different agenda, and it thrives in the dark. It remains this hidden force, and it takes embodiment through us. There we go into possession, then we go through all of these different things, and also that apparently, if you listen to David Icke, this other force has been trying to genetically manipulate the human race for eons and able to be able to utilize these bodies for themselves, for itself, whatever this force, these entities are.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of taking a, I have to calm down. So
No, you don't. No should.
So I've kind of got this dual look at evil now is that, you know, my whole premise with one of my last books, The E-Word, about the ego, is that the ego, the sense of separation is a natural result of being birthed into a body. You know, the little baby learns that the breast, you know, the bottle is out there. It's totally, there's no words, it's unconscious, but the sense of other and out there is ingrained in us from our moment of our birth. So we automatically are birthed into this separation reality that isn't really reality, apparently. So the fear that is engendered with that and the need to compete, the need to own, the need to control is a natural offshoot of that experience. And then there's this other force that also exists that amplifies that. And then manipulates us through that.
Right.
So it's kind of like a double bar.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard various people, you know, channelers and others who talk about how the evil force, you know, if it exists, it's like I'm still processing this myself because I do believe that evil exists, but is there that separate force that's evil, that it actually is controlling the reincarnation process.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, getting thrown back into a body is very much about serving that force instead of the light.
Oh, honey, I remember a million years ago in my life, I went to the Rampa School of Enlightenment in Washington State. One of the very first things that Rampa taught, like back in 1992, was that do not go to the light when you die.
Aha, interesting.
Which just, you know, blew my little mind 30 years ago, and it's been, that teaching has been in the back of my mind for 30 years. So now I'm listening to this source talk about holographic projection, our spiritual interdimensional being, love beings that we are, enmeshed, entrapped in a projection, a light projection, a holographic projection, okay? And then with Tico and all this other stuff, and I'm like, oh, holy God. I can see now, 35 years later, what Rampa said, you know, don't go to the light, that's just cycling into the projection, getting stripped and shoved right back into the hologram. So he always advised, he said, hang a left, go to the void, and just hang out, and then let your own being settle, your own inner light, create your next step for you, rather than being caught in an external projection.
It's interesting, because I've heard Tom Kenyon, who channels the Hathors, the Hathors saying the exact same thing, don't go to light after you pass, stay in that void, because that is the powerful place of creation, or something along those lines. But, you know, basically saying the same thing. And so when we think about people's near-death experiences, when they come back, they talk about this incredible feeling they have when they go to the light, when they merge with the light. And it makes me wonder, like, okay, well, there's got to be good to this, because they come back and they feel incredibly loved and all this. But is it a matter of just keeping us in this matrix? And is there any problem with us staying in the matrix? You know, maybe there's soul growth, or really should we be getting out of the matrix? I don't know.
Well, here we come back right back to where we almost started with what Jesus talks about is time to be the elevated self of form. There is a certain point, I think, in this experience where the darkness and the fear and the illusion of separation goes bye-bye. It has to. It's evolution. I mean, if there's anything I've learned to trust, is life. Life is evolutionary. Now, humanity may not be, you know, we may self-implode and destroy ourselves, and humanity won't be around, but life will continue to evolve with us or without us.
Right.
So without that judgment about that, it's like I'm taking great comfort in that, yeah, and that all the stuff that we're dealing with these last 2 years, oh, my God, this is the birth pangs of us moving into who we really are, into the light of our own being of love that is going to spit that other force out. And then our own internal sense of separation and fear, which we call the ego, that drives all that, without that other force amplifying that message of fear and illusion of separation, then we have our opportunity to be who we really are and just take the mask off and go, oh, holy Moses, there you are, Peter. You know, I just watched a book the other day. There you are, Peter. You know, and I remember, and here I got to go back to Rampa and 35 years ago. I remember him saying at a session one night, he said, when they turn the machines off that have been pumping this, that's been holding this holographic image of fear that we've been trapped in, he said, when they turn the machines off, you'll know finally who you are. You'll be able to see who you are.
Wow. You know, the for part of my journey with this concept of this evil force, so to speak, I was raised Christian. And I was taught about Satan and, you know, all that. And then I got beyond a lot of the fear. And I think it's very helpful in the sense of not believing in evil to get beyond the fear, right? Because if you think there's only light, then when you play in the light, then you're safe, right? So I've gotten really good at having clear energetic boundaries. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of darkness out there. I mean, I've seen things come out of people before, you know, mm-hmm. with eyes that look directly at me, and, you know, this shadow stuff that comes out. Mm-hmm. And so I know that there are these things that exist. And so, you know, I've got really good boundaries in my home. I've got really good boundaries around myself. And it's something that I've, you know, partly it's about working to create those boundaries, but part of it's just like evolving to have enough light that the boundaries are there. And, oh gosh, a few months ago, all of a sudden there was this being, let me precede that, but about 9 months ago or whatever, 8 months ago, my guide started presenting me with this huge sword of light, this white light sword, and it like was put in front of me, and I intuitively knew that I was supposed to drop it into my body. Mm-hmm. So I'd like see it sort of in my mind's eye and like put it in. And then I found myself spontaneously saying the phrase, Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that phrase, like for me, it was like it was shifting my energy. I had no idea why. I mean, I know about Christ consciousness, but it's not like, you know, I haven't been worshiping in that realm, you know, so to speak. So it was just sort of like this spontaneous thing. So several times a day, I'd have this sort of light that I put into my body, and I would just spontaneously, occasionally say Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few months ago, this really dark entity was coming, not into my space, but coming to fight me.
Mm-hmm.
And intuitively knew to pull the sword in and to whoosh light out, and sometimes I'd say Christ consciousness. And it wasn't, and I had to work really hard to not come to this place of fear. And it was, you know, it would occasionally have a face that looked like somebody in the public realm that everybody around the world knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even going to get into who that is. But it was like this for 2.5 days a night, sort of random times, this thing would come in, and I'd go through this process, bringing a light sword and whoosh light out, and eventually it was just gone. Mm-hmm. And so it really shifted my perspective about, this concept that evil doesn't exist, this concept that, you know, there's only love and fear, because I did a really good job not coming to this place of fear, which was not always easy because this thing was, like, vicious. And it still existed. And then it felt like it disappeared. And I don't feel like it just, like, wandered off, you know, to deal with somebody else. I really feel like it was exiting the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this mind-blowing experience that I had no expectations about.
Yeah.
And it felt very much connected to that energetic control system.
Mm-hmm. When I picked up, I don't know why I'm pushing Paul Levy's book, but I am. When I picked up this book, this is just a couple of months ago, it was actually over Christmas, and I was like, I consciously went, oh, God, because I knew I was opening up a gateway here.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
when I first opened up, when I cracked my kundalini through excessive unguided meditation way early in my life, the stuff that I experienced, oh, my God. I mean, the dark astral realm, that's where I spent probably a year battling that.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my last engagement was I would be dragged out of my body at night. I could hear gabbling and shrieking in the distance. I could feel hands all over my body, and then my astral body would be pulled out, and I'd be hurled. And the last place I was thrown was this horrible graveyard, and I'm terrified, and I'm creeping around. There's this huge slimy crypt, and I'm walking up past this crypt, and this enormous red-eyed, fangs, dripping claws, you know, big beast comes. And I'm like just out of my mind with fear, and it gets like right here. And all of a sudden, that sword of light, that something just rose, love, my light rose up in me. And I felt such love, and I looked at that beast in the eyes with such love, and the eyes just went, and it turned and ran.
Interesting.
And then I was back in my body, and I was never bothered again.
Interesting.
Well, that's not true. Every once in a while over the course of decades, I've had encounters with dark forces, absolutely. Yeah. So I knew that if I was going to open this book, I was going to open myself back up to it because I'm contemplating it, you know, And it's just like, and then why wouldn't I contemplate it and be okay? Because either I know who I am or I don't.
Mm.
Is there still a whisper of fear? Yeah. That's part of me. Blah, blah. It's the past. It's normal. It's regular. It's whatever it is. It's just a habit. It's not who I am.
Oh, I like that. It's just a habit.
It's a habit.
That's profound, Kate. That's profound. Before we go any further.
I said we go there over and over and over over the course of our lives so many billions of times that it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
But it's not who we are. And at a certain point, we are who we are. We shine that light and we can depend on that. I had three disturbed nights reading this book. Not bad, but I definitely had bad dreams. I've had bad dreams. But I knew, I was even aware in the dreams, just like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what this is.
Yeah.
That was a level of consciousness, so it was very cool.
And for me, the past couple of years, delving into, people will call it the truther movement, it's the darker aspects of things that are unfolding. You know, I had some disturbed nights, too, and it wasn't like bad dreams that I was aware of. It was just kind of like, couldn't sleep all the way through the night. You know, I'd wake up. But before we go any further, because we're running out of time here, I want to make sure people know how they can connect with you, Kate.
I'm on Facebook still. www.katemontana.com. That's okay. The best place to reach me.
And Kate is spelled with a C, C-A-T-E.
Yep.
Montana, just like the state in the United States. And before I say my goodbyes, I want you to all go check out Kate's website. Also, if you enjoy these conversations, if you want to share this with others, please go sign up on my YouTube channel. Subscribe, like. This particular interview will be up in a couple of days, and so you'll be able to share that with others. Kate, it's always expansive to talk to you. Thank you for letting our listeners be the proverbial flies on the wall.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Christine. I loved it again, always.
And I really appreciate those of you who have tuned in and watched. Again, katemontana.com, my website's christineupchurch.com, and you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Christine Upchurch. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events. Bye.
The views expressed.